We've got two Bible readings now. The first one is Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 to 4, which can be found on page 74 in the church Bibles. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions." This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from John's Gospel. It's page 1070 in the church Bibles. It's chapter 6, and it's verses 24 to 35. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of the Lord.
Our Heavenly Father, we ask that Ian's words this morning will both challenge and encourage us and help to strengthen our faith in all that Jesus gives us. Amen.
Amen. I wonder if you could turn me down just a pip. That would be nice because it's ringing and so on. That would be lovely. In the book of Exodus, the people of Israel seem to get into the habit of grumbling and complaining against Moses and Aaron, their leaders. They remember Egypt through rose-tinted spectacles. They remember when they sat around pots of meat and ate all the food they wanted. They forget the slavery and the hard labor. And Exodus records perhaps a dozen or so occasions when they complained. They complained about being uncomfortable, about being hungry, about being thirsty, complaints against God for bringing them out into this wilderness, complaints against their leaders, and so on. And here, God responds with a miracle, giving them not just enough to live on, but a ridiculous oversupply of quail birds falling from the sky and manna. Numbers 11 says that the little quail birds were 3 foot deep for a day's walk in any direction. I don't know if you can imagine that, but I calculate that that could have fed the whole world population at that time 20 times over. That is an astonishing oversupply of food. Now, we never grumble or complain, do we? But there is something in human nature that loves a jolly good whinge. It makes us feel a little bit superior, as if we are people of fine taste, used to good things, and this situation right here is not up to our usual standards. Mind you, when the waiter comes over and asks if everything is all right, we don't complain at that point, do we? Because that requires courage. And also, I think there's a second reason. In our modern society, with our emphasis on rights for the vulnerable, when an opportunity arises, we like to claim that we've been disadvantaged and that society owes us something. So there's extra benefit to grumbling and complaining. You might actually get a payout as well. Well, last week we heard about Jesus healing 10 men with leprosy. If you weren't actually here in church last week, then, like me, you can listen online on the Mark's Tay Church website. What's Jesus looking for? Andy asked in his sermon. Well, disciples who thank God and praise him. Instead of grumbling and complaining, cultivate instead an attitude of gratitude. And as you do so, you will find faith in Jesus. Well, back in Exodus, as well as meat in the form of those quail, God gave them bread from heaven. Thin flakes, like frost, it looked like. And they called it manna, which means, what is it in Hebrew? God gave them Hebrew what's-its. And Moses explained, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. Verse 31 says it was white, like coriander seed, and it tasted like wafers made with honey. Sounds delicious, doesn't it? Well, they learned how to grind it, how to boil it, how to bake it, how to make cakes with it, because they had it every day for 40 years. They gathered it daily until the very first day they ate the produce of the promised land of Canaan. And on that day, it stopped. In John chapter 6, Jesus, first of all, feeds the 5,000, starting with 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. And afterwards, understandably, he tries to get away for some peace and quiet, time to be with God the Father. But the crowds pursue him around the lake. Jesus accuses them of simply thinking of food for their stomachs, and he teaches them that he will give them food that endures to eternal life, which he will provide. Well, the people recall the Exodus story when the Israelites demanded food in the desert and Moses gave them manna, bread from heaven. And they challenged Jesus to do a miracle like Moses did, to be as impressive as their nation's founding hero. And in response, Jesus points them to have faith in God the Father, not in Moses. And then he says this, the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, oh, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is one of the seven amazing I am sayings from St. John's Gospel. I am the bread of life. And you probably know that the phrase I am is actually the name of God given to Moses, the holy name. And when Jesus says that phrase deliberately, emphatically, ego eimi in Greek, he's claiming divinity. He's implying that he is the Son of God. And for the second half of chapter 6, for another 35 verses, the Jews argue with him and debate with him and complain about him and grumble about him. How can Jesus be the bread of life? How can he have come down from heaven? This is the son of Joseph. We know his father and mother, don't we? Still, today, we struggle to recognize the kingdom of God among us. We taste bread. We see friends, but we fail to recognize Jesus or the work of God among us. Holy Communion has been the debating point for this down the centuries. At the Last Supper, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." What on earth did he mean when he said, "This is my body"? Did he mean that the bread had literally changed into his flesh? Some Catholic Christians developed this belief that when the priest says those words, the miracle happens at the altar. And we ring a little bell to signify the change. You can still hear this if you go to communion at Stanway or at Coggeshall or at various other churches. This is called transubstantiation, the belief that although it still looks like bread and wine, the substance has changed and become the actual body and blood of Jesus, and as such must be treated with extra care and respect. Well, the reformers said all this was silly and they mocked it. In Latin, "this is my body," in Latin is "hoc est corpus meum," which they called hocus pocus. No, they said, you can't wave your hands and do a miracle just like that, hocus pocus. Bread and wine are symbols of Christ, but they remain bread and wine. And what we do is we eat and drink in remembrance of him. There's no miracle, said the reformers. Communion is simply a memorial service, a time to remember and give thanks, in Greek, Eucharisto, to give thanks for Jesus' death on the cross. Now, there was a middle way, which Cranmer wrote into the 1662 Book of Common Prayer, called receptionism. Bread and wine, well, they remain exactly that. But as we eat and drink, the miracle is in the receiving, and we receive the body and blood of Christ. So the miraculous change occurs not on the priest's altar, but in the believer's heart. Bread and wine are digested, and the food is taken into our bodies and eventually becomes our flesh and blood. But also, as we do this in remembrance of him, the body and blood of Christ are taken into our souls, and we receive the grace of God for eternal life. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." So in whatever way you can, come to him, receive from him, choose life.
Thank you, Ian. Choose life. What a great ending. Jesus, our bread of life, may we feed on you this day and every day for the rest of our lives. Amen. Thank you.